We've all seen it happen. Someone opens their mouth and says something before they really thought about it. The mouth in that case was in autopilot mode. The same thing happens with our brain. I'll be right back.
This is the Killer Innovations Podcast with Phil McKinney. Keep in mind that the information and opinions expressed in this podcast are Phil's and Phil's alone, and they don't necessarily reflect those of his past, current, or future employers. Now, here's Phil McKinney.
Have you ever noticed how your mind or body reacts to something familiar? It just automatically takes over. No hesitation, no conscious thought. It just does it based on some kind of ingrained rules, rules that have just been imprinted on your brain. Now, don't you know what I'm talking about? You know, how does it feel when you walk on a broken escalator? You know it's broken. You can see with your eyes that it's broken. Your brain, however's autopilot takes over. It adjusts your posture so that you lean forward. It adjusts your stride, as if the escalator is moving. Now, normally these changes, your posture, your stride, are canceled out by the moving escalator. If it's not moving, you get that strange sensation. Now, some people report is it the feeling of being sucked into the escalator. Now, our brain has learned to use the escalator over time, and after time it becomes automatic and we don't even think about it. This disassociation between our brain's conscious knowledge, we can tell the escalator is not moving, and our brain's control of our actions, of changing our posture and our stride, is something most of us never think about. Now, I noticed this recently when I was in Paris, and we were actually getting onto an escalator that was broken. Now, I knew about this study, about looking at how the brain goes into these autopilot modes, and I was with a group of people, and I watched them step onto the escalator. So as we literally walked up to this escalator, I actually stepped to the side and I watched about the next four or five people go to step on to an escalator that was obviously broken. Of those five people, all five of them had this hesitation. The brain took over, they took the step onto the escalator, and they had that little body jerk because they've changed their posture, they leaned forward, they changed their stride to step onto the escalator, but the escalator was broken. Now, as we walked down the escalator, I was explaining to these people about this whole issue of brain and autopilot mode, and it became quite an interesting conversation. And one of the questions I got was, can this reaction be unlearned? And the answer is yes. Based on a series of studies, it takes about 3 to 5 times of stepping onto a broken escalator before the brain is retrained. So literally, if you do it once and then you know about it and then you do it again, you'll actually still have a similar sensation. But after about the 3rd or 4th time, the brain, in effect, gets retrained to look at the escalator as not being moving, and therefore you change the hesitation. Now, how does this apply to creativity and innovation? Now, I can argue that the brain is trained for far more than just escalator riding. We train it every day on how to make decisions, right? So how do you look at information that you have on your desk, and how do you make the best decision? How to know a good product versus a bad product? If you're in the product development business, you're looking at it, you know, people are pitching you ideas all day long. What makes a good product or a bad product, a good feature or a bad feature? How to make a recipe. You ever noticed, in my case, growing up, watching my mother and my grandmother bake, they never looked at the recipe. They literally could go into autopilot mode while making dinner. They could be talking on the phone, watching TV, holding 3 conversations, and whip this together in autopilot mode. Now, the caution here is how many of our actions every day are really the result of our brain being in autopilot mode? Even if our conscious says one thing, our brain on autopilot will take over. Now, I see this all the time when it comes to selecting the best ideas to fund or to invest or to budget R&D dollars against. You get into a room with a bunch of really, really smart people. You've got a select set of really good ideas. You can't afford to fund them all, so you've got to figure out which are the best ones to fund. And you always get those people in the room that say, well, if it's their gut or it's their instinct, that this idea is not as good as this idea. And albeit I believe in gut and instinct, and some people have that ability, some people don't have that ability, but we have to all be conscious of the risk that it's really not gut or instinct, but it is this brain on autopilot making a decision based on history. So albeit our eyes may be saying one thing, our brain clicks in, and based on history and the way it's been trained and the information that's been locked in, it's going to make its decision in autopilot mode based on a history that could be flawed. Now, one of the key areas that this really shows up in is when you are brainstorming. Now, when you're brainstorming, you have to take extra care to turn off the autopilot. In some cases, just recognizing that your brain has an autopilot mode and consciously turning itself off, making yourself aware of the autopilot mode, and therefore telling yourself to ignore it, can be a great help. In some cases, you have to retrain your brain. Just as retraining your brain on getting on and off that escalator, you have to retrain your brain to turn on and off that autopilot mode. Now, in this case, remember that it took 3 times for you to get the brain retrained in the escalator. You may have to run through and do a number of early brainstorming exercises in order to get the brain retrained. That's why, in many cases, the first time a person has ever really been in a well-thought-out, well-structured brainstorming session, they feel somewhat disoriented. And after about the third or fourth time of participating in a brainstorming session, they've actually been able to get the autopilot mode to get out of the way to where they can really participate and really engage from the standpoint of participating in the brainstorming session. So how do you know if your autopilot is actually kicking in and is actually having an impact negatively, in some cases positively, on the brainstorming session? What I have is basically what I would call the ignore areas. These are things that you should ignore while you're in the brainstorming session. The first one is ignore the voice. Now, we all have that voice running around in our head, whether that's saying, oh, this is good, this is bad, this is crazy, this is great, this is poor, this is hot, this is cold. Ignore that voice. Next is ignore what I call the catch. The hesitation. You see something and you just kind of feel it inside your body, that kind of hesitation and that catch. If you feel that, you know that autopilot is on and you're therefore filtering out and you're actually going, you're applying a filter to whatever ideas are being generated in a brainstorming session or in any kind of discussion or meeting. Be careful of what I call the catch. The other is ignore the editor. You hear someone's idea, you hear something being thrown out of the table, and you want to edit it. You want to make it grammatically correct. You want to reword it. Ignore the editor. Also, ignore the doubt. If something is negative, ignore the negative. Just focus on the fact or focus on the idea or focus on the information. The same thing is also ignore the overenthusiasm. What you tend to find is nothing is as great as you think it is, and nothing is as bad as you think it is. It always ends up somewhere in the middle. And you have to be careful about letting the autopilot kick in. If you're an eternal optimist, things will always seem very positive. If you're a doubting Thomas, everything will seem a lot worse or more negative. So again, ignore the doubt. The key here is ignore it all. What you want is you want a clean, blank, open mind. And you want to get the mind out of the way so that you can just generate ideas, look at ideas, and be able to evaluate them openly and fairly without the brain's autopilot going on. And like I said before, the first 3, 4, 5 times that someone participates in a well-structured creativity session, whether it's an ideation, brainstorming, whatever methodology you're using in your organization, when you bring new people in who've never been in what I would call well-structured sessions, They're going to feel this disorientation. The brain is in autopilot mode. The brain is getting in the way. And in some cases, you may want to structure exercises for yourself or for these or for the people participating in your organization to retrain the brain to get out of the way, to turn the autopilot off. Now, I'm not saying that you should just ignore your gut or your instinct. You just need to make sure it's not the autopilot flying you into the side of that mountain. In line with our discussion about autopilot, we need to be on guard with assumptions. In previous podcasts, we've asked about assumptions we hold for our business and our industries. This week's killer question extends on that theme. First killer question is, what assumptions do we hold for our non-customers? What assumptions do we hold for our non-customers? Now, there's a lot of assumptions depending on your business and your product or your service or whatever it is you're selling that all of us hold about our non-customers. Some of them could include spendable income. Maybe your product or service is priced at such a point that you assume that you have to have a certain amount of spendable income in order to afford it. One example would be the BMW. Yes, there's the very, very high-end BMW, but BMW recognized that there was a fan base, people who absolutely loved BMW, but who could not afford the high-end. So what'd they do? They brought in the lower levels of the BMW car line so that people with reasonable income levels could actually afford to own a BMW of their own. Next would be education level. Do you assume that people have to have a certain education level, a certain skill set, whether that's to assemble your product or understand the how to use the product, be able to read the manual, etc. So for instance, if you're selling medical instruments, you would assume that your customers have to have a certain education level, meaning a doctor. But in some cases in the medical instruments business, if you assume that it's a nurse or you assume that it's a lab technician and you adjust your product accordingly, you tend to find that these are the people who actually are the big users of certain types of medical instruments. Yes, the doctors and surgeons are in there, but the people who are really doing the work with the patients in many cases are not the doctors, but the people in other parts of the medical field. So in that case, you made one assumption on education level that may or may not apply. Another assumption for non-customers could be interest or hobbies. What hobbies do they have? What interest do they have? Are they athletic if you're selling sports equipment? It may be cases where somebody's maybe not in great shape, but they are athletic. They maybe ride a bike or walk or whatever. But again, it's an assumption that you have to be careful of. What about gender? Male, female? Do you assume that your product only fits with one gender? Again, what assumption do you hold for your non-customers? Another example of an assumption would be, what assumptions do you hold for countries or geographies where your product or service is not sold? Again, what assumptions do you hold for countries and or geographies where your product or service is not sold? Some assumptions here could be political. Are the politicians in the area open to you being able to bring your product in? Are there tariffs for your product or services coming into the country that are fair or unfair? Is that an assumption you have? Income level. Do you assume people living in that country have a certain income level and so therefore can or cannot afford your product? Competition. Do you have this perception or assumption that companies in their region or in that country already have locked up the market, and so therefore why enter it? Customer interest. Customers may or may not be interested in your product. The key here is to understand all of the assumptions that you have in your product. Why? Because a brain on autopilot can hide themselves as false assumptions. This week's closing thought is in line with this whole concept of the brain on autopilot. Now, not trusting your brain, or better yet, your brain really not trusting your eyes, was best said by Mark Twain when he said, "You can't depend on your eyes when your imagination is out of focus." And the fundamental theme here is that if you want to get your brain out of autopilot and really, really open your eyes to see the possibilities for your ideas and your innovations, you need to get your imagination, get your ideas, get your creativity unlocked and get them out in front and turn off that autopilot. Well, thanks for listening to this week's podcast. Please drop me an email, feedback@podcast.killerinnovations.com. Feel free to post your comments on the show notes at killerinnovations.com. Also, I haven't mentioned this in quite a while, but feel free to join in to my LinkedIn network. Now, I get a lot of requests, so if you want to link in with myself, send me an email at podcast@killerinnovations.com and clearly put in the request that you're a podcast listener. Because if you do not say that, I typically will not accept the request because I get lots of requests to join on LinkedIn. Also, please visit killerinnovations.com for the new blog. If you haven't read the blog, go out there. The most recent one is on the ant infestation and how that gave me a little bit of insight on the challenges on the job. The podcast show notes, so the show notes for every week's show, plus the entire archive of the podcast going back, I've lost track now, 85 shows. Also, Reblog. Now, the Reblog site is where I post up interesting articles, other websites that talk about creativity and innovation. Also, you can link in there to the Killer Innovations community site. It's where you can get together with like-minded individuals who are interested in creativity, innovations, and ideas, and share your thoughts, and also work with other community members to help them take their ideas to the next level. There's also links for the toolbox, books, tapes, creativity card decks, pens, notebooks. These are things that I actually use day in and day out, so you can go take a look at those in the toolbox. Also, I also posting my upcoming events where I'll be speaking. Now, I have not updated. It's a little bit outdated. In fact, I'll use this to keep myself honest to get that updated. So that you are aware, upcoming, I will be in Hong Kong the first week of December. I will be in Vienna, Austria in the middle of December. So those are the next two public venues where I will be speaking. So if you're going to be in Hong Kong in early December or in Vienna in mid-December, drop me an email and I'll try to set up a time when we can actually get together. Also, don't forget to vote for your favorite podcast. It's the easiest way for you to let the producers of your favorite podcast know that you truly do appreciate all the time and effort they put into creating the content. Also, I know I get bugged or I get pinged by people when I do apologize, but I do have to apologize since it's been 3 weeks since the last podcast. My wife and family are now relocated to California. We are getting settled in, and so hopefully I'll be able to get back onto normal schedule for putting the podcast out. So I do appreciate all the emails of support and encouragement of keeping up with the podcast. And believe me, it's my intent to continue to produce them. So stay tuned and we'll try to put them out on a more regular schedule. And with that, feel free to link to the killerinnovations.com website from your blog or your website. And also tell others about the podcast. Share the benefits that you've had with the podcast and use it as your way to pay it forward. And we'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye.